morning. Welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. A special welcome if you're visiting for the first time. We have some information to give you. So if you are a first-time visitor and you haven't yet received that information, if you would raise your hand at this time, the ushers will bring one to you, as well as some information about our church. There's also a visitor's card inside or attached to it. If you take a moment and fill out that card and drop it in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Again, welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Brother Ray Allison is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you that we are redeemed. And we rejoice in the fact that we can face every day knowing that we have you in our hearts and our minds and our souls, and that you're right there with us. We pray for all those folks that having troubles and problems today, Lord. We just pray that you'll help in each one of their lives. We thank you for the opportunity of living in a country where we can gather and worship you. We pray for our country, Lord. Pray that we as a people would listen more to you and less to the world. Thank you for the love you've given us, Lord. We thank you for Valentine's because it's a time that we can remember who is the most important in our heart, and that's you, Lord. Now guide us in all we do today. Help everything we do to honor you, and we pray that you'll be pleased in everything that we do. For it's in your name that we pray. We love you so much, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Without hope, walk the shadow of the night. nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
She's the wife of Brother Bill, and so she's trying to care for Brother Bill and care for a backache. So you can imagine how difficult that is. And so be in prayer for Brother Bill. They retired and moved down. Well, they retired a while ago, but they sold everything from West Virginia. They moved here, joined the church, and it just seems like everything has been going sideways with it. It didn't catch God by surprise. He's all-knowing. And they had good medical care. You got a good church family here, so let's be in prayer for the Phillips. They really need it. And if you can call, text, go by, visit, that'd be great. Sister Jennifer came through her surgery well, and she's at home, and went by yesterday, and she was actually walking around in the yard a little bit trying to exercise her legs so she don't get a blood clot. So be in prayer for her. The pain is still there, and it's an emotional, difficult time for them, I'm sure. So let's be in prayer for the Stevens family as well. So it's good to have Brother Jamie with us. Brother Jamie, you come on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to come here, Pastor, and be a part of the church family. I love being here. The teenagers, I'll probably say a little bit more about it tonight. You know, thank you so much from the food to the service and everything that took place on Friday night. It was absolutely first class. It was very, very beautiful. I hope you guys appreciate what God has given you here. With the servants and stuff that you have, whether it's Sunday school teachers to actually put all the time and stuff into the teenagers where they can do something like that. And, of course, a pastor that loves you enough to where you can actually put on something like that. And even to the point where it literally will go right back into the investments of the teens when they go off to camp and stuff. So camp is always a great time, always a fun time for memories and stuff. But thank you so much also to the young lady that sung before. Boy, we shouldn't take for granted the love of God. And it is said that if all Jesus did was die on the cross, boy, he gave us the world. He gave us not only the world, but then he gave us eternity. That's the best gift we could ever receive from anybody. I encourage you, if you have your Bible, to turn into the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 81. That's where we will hang out for the next few minutes here. Oftentimes when I preach, especially on Sunday mornings, you are taught that it's more of a outreach message. This is a time where you have a lot of visitors who come to the church. And by the way, if there are any visitors here, I encourage you to come back and hear from the pastor. He's a good, godly man. He talks about you in great accord, great esteem, that he holds you up. You can tell that he definitely cares. But normally, you give a message almost about heaven, about if you don't know that you're going to heaven, boy, it's a great place for you. But today, the Lord impressed on me to do something a little bit different. I don't know who this message is for. I don't begin to play God, but I begin to ask God this morning, one more time, Lord God, are you sure that this is the message that I'm to bring? But the one thing that I want to be said in heaven of me is that I was faithful. And I was a servant of him. So if that's going to be true, I would have to preach this message today to be found faithful. In Psalms chapter 81, we're going to start in verse 10 and read in verse all the way to verse 16. It says, "And I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Obviously, if you haven't guessed up until this point, God is speaking here. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." He is speaking to the Israelites. He said, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." What a sad statement that is right there if we were to stop. Well, if our name would be put in there, if my people, then it would be your name. Would it be said that we wanted none of him or to hearken to his voice? We begin to read on from there. So he said, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. All that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turn my hands against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. And here's the verse that we're going to camp at. It said, and he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. The Lord God said, if my people would have just heeded to me, if they would have just listened. By the way, that same thing can be said of us. If we would just listen to God, if we would just listen to his man, if we would just listen to the message that he had, he would have given us more than what we ever could imagine. It is said there that he said he wasn't just going to give them something that would have fed them. He was going to give them the finest of the wheat. Oh, oftentimes when I read about the children of Israel, I'm like, literally you had God that was right there, right in front of you. But oftentimes we read how they rejected him and they pushed him off. By the way, talking about the cross, we must realize when Jesus was on the cross, it wasn't the world who crucified him. It was his own people. These people in this story that we are seeing here. Boy, if we're not careful, we can be the same way. Oh, we're going to look at this in a totally different context, but we're going to put ourselves in this story and see what God is talking about here in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church. Lord God, we thank you for the man of God. Lord God, we thank you for people that are willing to come and worship you the way that we should. Heavenly Father, O Holy Spirit, I ask you give me the power to say only what thou needs me or would like me to say. Lord God, we ask you just please help anyone that's here. Lord God, I can only imagine the burdens and the trials and the heartaches that are here. Lord God, but you knew. Lord God, there's a way to fix everything. Oh, please just help us to be faithful. We give you honor and praise in your blessed Son's name, I pray. Amen. Oh, so you must understand, as I travel, the one thing that every church has in common, Pastor, is everybody's going through a rough time. Everybody's going through heartache. But now it seems more and more and more and more and more, I hear stories of people that sat in the same pew that you sat in, they listened to the same preaching as you did, they're no longer there. Oh, the one sermon that the preacher had, that literally he got from God to help you with your burdens, to help you with your problems. Hey, maybe one of you would have come up to him and been like, Pastor, I need you to pray for this. And the pastor, oh, it was a situation that he didn't even have an answer for you at the time. But then our God spoke to him and gave him something to help you, but you weren't there. Oh, because of this one thing that we talked about, bitterness. Oh, bitterness grips the heart, it grips the soul. If we're not careful, we'd be someplace that we never thought that we would ever, ever be because of the thing called bitterness. Oh, if I could take just the mere numbers here, if I could look at the hearts of the individuals, I would say half the people in here, if not more, are fighting this thing called bitterness. Oh, maybe it's because someone said something to you. Or maybe it's because you weren't treated the way that you thought you were treated. Or maybe you did something. You poured your heart out to somebody and they turned their back to you. And this thing is bitterness is as real as can be. Oh, but God said in multiple times in Scripture, not only is he with us always, but don't you think if God had enough sense, they're literally where he cares for the sparrow and he meets all the sparrow needs, how much more will God meet his children's needs? But yet oftentimes we fail. Oftentimes we quit before he delivers the package. See, the package that God delivers, just like he was saying in this scripture here, is the rock. He said in verse 16, he said, and he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with the honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee. Oh, that rock is merely which the container which God delivers the honey. Hey, I'm not sure what burden you're going through. Hey, I'm not sure what sorrow you're going through or trial. Maybe it's bereavement. Maybe it's hardship. Maybe someone just found out that a loved one just passed away. Hey, maybe someone just found out that they no longer have a job. Hey, I'm not God, but I can tell you, even through your hard times, He is there with you. Hey, God is still on the throne. Hey, God still hears you, hears your prayers when you pray. Hey, God still knows that you have that heartache. He's just saying, hang in there. That heartache, that bereavement that you're going through, hey, that rough time that you're going through, hey, you may not be able to see the other side because it's absolutely huge, but I know what's on the other side. If you just hang in there, boy, there's honey.
Amen.
In there. How many times have we had something happen in our life and we never knew what was going on? We're like, Lord God, we don't know what's going on here. Lord God, I don't know the whole situation here. And then all of a sudden we just hung in there, even though it was something small. And on the other side, boy, that honey was so sweet that we got. Why? Because we hung in there. We hung in there. We have more people today or whatever that are going through heartache, that are going through trials, that are going through situations. But yet the church house should be full today. Oh, there should be literally standing room only. You would almost get to the point where you would have to pay. And any good Baptist know that the front, the back rows would be the most expensive. Whatever, people come in and normally they're like, oh no, front row, that's way too close. Whatever, sit in the back row there. But yet the church houses aren't as full as what they could be. Well, I wonder how many people are going through a rough time. Maybe this thing that we're talking about of bitterness has gripped their soul. Oh, just like anything, we can decide two different things when this happens in life. We can say, hey, life has given me this particular rock, and I can't handle it. And we can make ourselves our own God. And we can decide that we're going to do it our own way. And we can become bitter. Or we can realize that God's in charge. And no matter what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve Him. Or whatever. Even if I don't see it on this side of glory, hey, in heaven, He'll make all things right. Hey, heaven, you say my body, or whatever, they tell me that my body's eat up with different types of diseases, or I have a congestive heart failure. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Hey, I can tell you this. The Bible talks about on the other side you have a new body. Oh, there will be no heartache there. Hey, when you get out of bed, you won't have to worry about that jacket that we were talking about before in Sunday school. Hey, you won't have to worry about those little grossing pains. I spoke to someone earlier and he said, hey, he's somebody that I look up to. He's one of my heroes. And I asked him, I was like, hey, how's it going? He's getting up in age. And he's like, son, I didn't realize how tough it was getting older. He's like, you got to be tough to get older. He said that walking away, but he still had a smile on our face. Oh, we can look at life and we can get bitter. Or we can look at life and we can get sweet. Hey, there's honey on the other side of the rock. We just have to stay in there. Sometimes we make the statement, hey, I'm a preacher, you got to pray for me. I'm literally in between a rock and a hard place. Hey, I'm here to tell you that means you got honey on both sides. But you just got to hang in there. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep taking one step after another. Hey, I know sometimes that it's heavy. Hey, I know sometimes that you don't think that you can do it on your own. Hey, can I tell you this? That's why sometimes when you need prayer, that's why when sometimes when the problem is a little bit too big for you, God has given you the under-shepherd. He's given you somebody that will pray for you. He's given you somebody that will help you through that time of need. Amen. But we have to get through even on this thing called pride. It's amazing how sometimes I hear stories of church members like, well, preacher didn't come visit me at the hospital. Well, did you call him? Well, no. Well, he should have known. I didn't realize he was a fortune teller. Was he a palm reader when he shakes your hand? Ooh, you're having surgery this Tuesday. And if that's the case, I'm going to be like, preacher, what's the lottery numbers for next week? It's not gambling if it's a sure thing, right? No. Oh, there's many different examples that we can give of people who've had rough times and they gave up and they never saw the honey that's there. Oh, you speak to a parent who has a daughter, who has a son that's going through a problem. And oh, as much as they want to help them financially, they may not have the money to help them. Oh, but they sacrifice and they do whatever they can. And boy, all of a sudden, God comes through in a mighty way. And boy, they get to rejoice with their kids. Why? Because they saw them go through the pain. They saw them go through everything. And yet God was still faithful. I remember watching one of my friends go through a terrible ordeal. We're joking around with him, and you know, he was working out. I know we have several young people here. That's the one thing that young people like to do is they like to work out and, you know, get bigger. And he was working out and getting bigger, but he was working out, but his belly kept getting bigger. And I was like, brother, I think that's a little weird, don't you think? That you're working out? We were just making fun. He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I thought I was eating right. He's like, maybe I'm allergic to healthy food. And, you know, we just kind of laugh. But his belly kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He would go to the doctors and nobody could figure out anything. Finally, they referred him to the Mayo Clinic. They said, brother, we don't know what's going on. They said, but obviously something is going on. They referred him to the Mayo Clinic in the first visit that they had there. The doctor said, you have a tumor. He said, that's what's growing inside of you. He said, we're going to do all these tests and try to figure out what we can do. Over the next few weeks, his stomach began to grow even bigger and bigger. And as I was home from traveling from place to place, I would try to go into the Mayo Clinic there and visit him, because they admitted him into the hospital because it was getting to that point. He said, finally, the doctor said, we're going to take another biopsy of it and find out what's going on. This was going to be the sixth time that they did this. He said, I was a little agitated by this point. I'd been in there for several weeks, Pastor. No answers to anything. He said, finally, he slammed his hand on the hospital bed and he said, you got to tell me something. He was like, you've done this six times. He's like, if you can't tell, I'm a little irritated by this. Somebody needs to tell me something. Said the doctor. Came and sat by his bed. He's like, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm just going to be up front with you. He said, we don't know how to kill this thing in you. He said, we've never seen anything like this in our entire life. He's like, we think that you probably have maybe 48 hours to live. Of course, that hit him like a brick wall. Well, I remember getting the news from his wife, and Lord worked it out to where I was excused from the obligation that I had, and I drove immediately there to the Mayo Clinic. And I met with him, and of course, you could feel the change in the room of the uncertainty that was happening there. I remember walking in and I told the family, I said, hey, go ahead and get washed up. Go ahead and refresh yourself. I'll be with him. He won't be by himself. I'll spend the night if that will help you all. And of course they agreed and they were going to come back first thing in the morning. When I was there with him, called his name. I said, Daniel, brother, I can only imagine how you're doing. Anything I can do for you? It was a little quiet. He said, I don't know what God's plans are for me. He's like, but I told him this. He said, if his will for him to take my life, and he would be more glorified than him taking my life, he's like, I told him I'm fine with that. I'll surrender to it. And I was like, brother, I mean, that's pretty big boy of me to do that. Most of us would be like, forget everybody else. Brother, save me. Save me. But he was like, Heavenly Father, if you get glorified more in my death, I'll do it. And then he made another statement. He's like, but I told him this. If he will cure me of this, I will make sure when I walk out of here, every single person that I talk to after that point, whatever knows how big my God really is. Of course, we begin to pray. The church began to pray. Everybody began to pray. The next morning, I get a phone call after the doctor comes in, preacher. When he comes in, I get a phone call from Daniel's dad, and I'm expecting, you know, the outcome that nobody wants to hear. And he picks up the phone, and I hear, hey, good morning, brother. And I'm like, well, that's not what I was expecting to hear. Absolutely at all. I'm like, hey, good morning. He was like, just heard from the doctor. I was like, okay. He said, he's got a fighting chance. He's got a fighting chance. He's like, just like that. He's like, all of a sudden, the report came back from the lab, and they know how to kill it, and they know how to do stuff, or whatever. He's like, he just has to hang in there and survive the chemo for the next 3 or 4 months. And then we believe that we can get it. He's like, but the chemo itself, the amount that they're going to be giving him could kill him itself. So, of course, we begin to pray and stuff even more. I went to a camp, and when I went to the camp, I had them pray for him, because I said, literally, when I come down from this mountain, I will get either good news or bad news. Good news that my friend is now in heaven, and I'll be able to see him again, and the bad news is that, oh, man, he won't be with us anymore. When I came down off the mountain, all of a sudden my phone binged again, and when it binged again, it was a voice message, and the voice message was from Daniel. He said, hey, I just want you to know, or whatever, I'm already practicing what I preach. He's like, God prevailed. I am still alive. He's like, by the way, not only am I still alive, I am cancer free. He said, but hey, here's the thing about it. He's like, the doctor said that we didn't do this. He said, hey, we gave you all the chemo and stuff, but it literally was just a shot in the dark. He's like, whatever God you serve or whatever, I just want you to know that he is real. And he said, absolutely, he's real. And man, he began to tell everybody that he could about how real God is. The moral of the story is he easily could have got bitter. Daniel was serving in the church like you serve in the church. Daniel was what we call being right with God. He was right with God. Daniel was teaching the juniors in junior church. Man, he had all these little kids that were looking up to him. If anybody that you would expect not to get what he got, it would be Daniel. But yet he did. Well, when you talk to him, even during those times, whatever, he still had a sweetness about him. He still had something that was a little bit different about him. Oh, life can either make us harder and meaner, or life can make us sweeter and kinder. Hey, I remember talking to this old man. Whenever I was talking to this old man, we were looking up there in Montana, we were looking at everything, and man, how sweet and how beautiful this mountain range was. And I was like, brother, look how beautiful this is. He's like, well, give it a few minutes, it'll rain. Yeah, but can't we just enjoy it now? Why enjoy it when it's just going to rain in a few minutes? Well, you're really killing it here. Then I remember another time, there was another young lady, went to go visit her, and I was like, oh my goodness, look how beautiful it is today. Isn't it beautiful? Oh my goodness, it's so sweet. I just love when the birds sing. Oh, I just love this. I just love that. Most people would look at her and be like, man, she's got everything in the world. Man, look, she's got this beautiful house. Man, it's so big. Of course she can enjoy the smell of the roses that are freshly blooming in front of her house. But then when I spoke to the pastor, he said, you don't know what that young lady's going through. The hardest thing for a parent to do is to bury her kids, and all of her kids that she had have now passed away in a tragic accident. He said, but every single time you saw that lady, even through the tears, she would still tell you that her God is good, that her God is great, that her God is an awesome God. Hey, sometimes that rock that you're going through, hey, can I say it like this? Your rock is not any bigger than mine. My rock is not any bigger than yours. And our God is bigger than any rock, any mountain, anything that we can possibly come through. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. What is it called? It's called faith. You got to keep walking out. Sometimes you just got to step out into the water. Anybody heard the story of that? Or whatever. But if he never would have stepped out, he never would have been known as the first, as the only other person other than Jesus to ever walk on water. Boy, how great it would be that he's in heaven like, hey, you can say whatever you want to, but I walk on water. Thank you. Oh, it would absolutely be awesome. Man, can you imagine a bragging right from that? But oh, sometimes in life, we allow this thing called bitterness to creep in. Isn't it amazing when God talked about the honey out of the rock? Rock is a natural thing. So is honey. But honey is the sweetest thing that you ever could have that's natural in this life. Oh, the more rocks you have, the more honey you have. The more opportunity that we have for honey, the more opportunity we have for to be bitter. Well, I remember visiting this young lady, another young lady, her and her husband. They just lost a child. Well, I remember going there and sweet couple. Remember going there and we started talking to them. And I'm like, how are you doing? Anything we can do for you? The look on the mom's face. How dare your God do that? How dare your God take my kids? How dare your God do this? Like, whoa. What in the world happened here? Instantly she went from being just like all of us to immediately, how dare. It wasn't her God anymore. How dare your God do that to me? Then a little while later, I got called of a guy who's now pastoring now in the Midwest. Got a call that him and his wife lost their little one in a tragic accident. And the pastor's like, hey, would you want to go with me? I'm like, I don't know if I want to go. And go through that again. It's horrible. See the bitterness that was on somebody. And then I went in. As soon as we went in, the tears were flowing down mom. And the pastor tried to console her, and he was like, hey, is there anything I can do? She's like, oh no. She's like, oh no. She's like, these aren't tears of sadness. She's like, these are tears of joy. She's like, my baby was in my womb, and I pray that God would take care of him. I pray with God that would raise him up. I pray with God that would keep him from harm. I pray for God that would keep him from those evil people. And Lord, God saw it and not only heard my prayers, but he decided to raise my child himself. Whatever, there's going to be no sadness there. I don't have to worry about the enemies and the trials of life getting to my child. What happened? Could have looked at it with the sweetness of honey. We could have looked at it with bitterness. Oh, how many times do we play God in our life where we decide, that's not fair. It's not fair that I get this trial. It's not fair that I get this tribulation. It's not fair that I'm put into this predicament. Oh, oftentimes we play God. We raise our hands at God. Boy, we better be careful. Bitterness is creeping in. Bitterness is going to keep us from the pew. Bitterness is going to keep us from our family. Oh, how many times have you seen somebody get so bitter, they just push off everybody that wants to bring something nice to them, wants to bring something kind to them. They just seem like they just want to be there in their misery for the rest of time. Old people, older people, they can either be nicer, and they can be sweet, or they can be the most miserable people in this world. This world that we live in is just a long road. There's a lot of bumps. There's a lot of pebbles. There's a lot of rocks. Sometimes they even get to the point where there's a lot of potholes in this life. But boy, there's honey in there too. There's honey in there too. Oh, I'm not sure who's going through a rough time. Oh, I'm not sure who's going through a heartache. But I'm here to tell you that Lord God knows. Hey, and first, Lord God knows so much about it. Whatever, you just have to hang in there. You just have to keep fighting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there has no temptation taken you. What is he saying there? Hey, he knows all your problems. He knows about all your situations. I was just out of camp. In Georgia, when I was there, there was a preacher's wife who was there. She came up to me and we were talking. I was working on a video and we were talking and she said, "Hey, Brother Jackson, I need your help. I need your help with some counsel for something." And she began to tell me about her son. She said, "My son is wavered." And she's like, "Brother Jackson, did I do something wrong?" She's like, "I tried to raise him right." She's like, "I tried to raise him with standards and convictions and everything. And now he uses it against me. He tells me that I kept him away from everything," and tears flowing down her face. She's like, "Did I do something wrong?" And I said to her, I was like, "Did you do what God wanted you to do in those situations at that time?" She's like, "Yes." I was like, "Then you never have to ever second guess that."
Amen.
I was like, "Because you were doing your part." I was like, "But there comes a point in time in everybody's life they have to decide. They're going to serve God or they're going to go their own way." I was like, "But let me tell you this." I was like, "Even though they go their own way, there's one person in their life that they will still come in contact with." And I was like, "When they come in contact with you, they need to still see Jesus. They need to still see God." I was like, "They know when they see mom or whatever, where the standard is or where they're supposed to be." I was like, "They can deny it as much as they want, but you better be faithful. You better be faithful when it comes to being in the church house. You better be faithful." I was like, "Even when you're sick, if you can make it to the church house," I was like, "you need to be there." How many times have we been sick? We felt a little bad. And I'm not talking about the stomach virus or something that the gift that keeps on giving. We don't need that when we're in the church house. But you're just sick. Maybe you're tired. And you don't come to the church. But yet, oftentimes, when we do come, it seems like we feel revived. And we're glad that we did when we did. And I told her, I was like, "You need to keep coming. You need to keep being faithful." She said, "Okay." She said, "Thank you." She left. Year later, I pull up on the property. Pull up on the property, and I get there a little bit earlier than everybody else to set up equipment. And they're like, "Hey, brother, did you see this pastor and their wife?" "No, I didn't see it." "Man, she's looking for you. She's looking for you. She's looking for you." I'm walking across the field, and all of a sudden I see this lady. She's got on a skirt, preacher. And she can't run fast enough, so she jacks up her skirt. She's like, "Run, Jackson! She's running across the field. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, is she coming to slap me? Or is it like, what am I getting myself into here?" She came up to me. She's like, "Brother Jackson," she's like, "you may not be able to remember." It's like, "when I talked to you last year." I was like, "Yeah. I remember about your son." She's like, "Oh, yeah." She's like, "Remember how you told me that even when I'm sick, I need to still be I'm supposed to be?" So yeah, she's like, "One day," she's like, "I was hurting." She's like, "I didn't want to go to church." She's like, "I literally was sick." And she said, "My son heard about it." And she said, "But I thought about you and what you said." She said, I need to go to the church house." She's like, "I need to go to the church house." So she went, and she said, while she was there, her son decided that he was going to take care of his mom and made her a thing of soup. And said he brought it to the house. When he brought it to the house, there was nobody there at the house. And he pulled up and he knocked on the door. He said, "Nobody's home." And he went back and his wife was in the car. She said, "Now what are you going to do? Where's your mom?" He's like, "Oh, I know where mom is." He's like, "I know where mom is." He's like, "We're going to go deliver this to her." So all of a sudden they got into the car and made their way to the church. They made their way to the church. He said all of a sudden they walked through the back door and she couldn't see her son there because she was like every good Christian. She was locked in, you know, and her husband who was preaching, who was the preacher. Then all of a sudden, you see that it was only 10 or 15 minutes into the message, and he was like, all right, honey, I need you to come and get to the piano. About to have an offer, you know, about to have an invitation. She said, what? Did I hear him right? 10 or 15 minutes? He leaves the preacher way longer than that. She's like, are you sure? To him, he's like, honey, please hurry. She said she went there and she started playing the song, and as she started playing that song, she said she could hear, excuse me, get out of the way. Her son was on the back pew there. And he said he was saying, excuse me, and the people weren't moving fast enough. And finally he just said, get out of the way, and everybody moved. He said all of a sudden he came running down the aisle, and she could hear somebody running, and she said she was playing the piano, and she looked up, and she could just see her son running down the aisle. And obviously, like any mom, knowing that her child was wayward, she began to pray there at the piano. She said all of a sudden the tears began to flow. She's like, Brother Jackson, I couldn't even see what I was playing or what I was doing. All I know is my son was at the altar. She's like, all of a sudden I heard another commotion and I looked up and here's his wife running down the aisle, whatever, too. And she said, I didn't know what was going on. Finally, the preacher came over to me and he said, You need to come be with us right now. She said, all of a sudden she stopped playing. She came over there. And before she can get over there, she said, her son gave her a huge hug and told everybody in the church. He said, Mom, thank you. She said, thank you for staying right and doing right. He said, I know there was one person who was still praying for me. He's like, those times when I went to go do something that I know that I shouldn't do, whatever, my heart began to burn within. He's like, I know it was probably because of one person who was on their knees, whatever, before God that was praying for me. He said, when I went to the house and I knew you weren't there, he's like, immediately I went back to those times where we had church and we had revival, and I knew exactly where Mom would be. And he said, Mom, I'm here to say thank you so much for it. And boy, he got things right. Just here in a little bit, I'll be able to actually go to the church. He's been texting me back and forth or whatever. He's like, brother, he's like, I mean this in the greatest man way. He's like, as soon as I see you, I'm going to give you the greatest hug in the world. And I said, that's fine. I was like, I think we'll be all right. I was like, we have to do a few push-ups afterwards and let everybody know where we are or whatever. I was like, that's fine. But the point is this. That preacher's wife, doing the right thing, immediately allowed that situation to make her bitter. Easily allowed that situation to make her step away from God. Easily allowed that situation to make her question herself. You think it was hard for her? Telling her child, this is the way the mom believes, and we're going to keep at it. I know that I did right. I know that I raised you right. Even though you're saying all this stuff now, but I must remain faithful to my Heavenly Father. And then all of a sudden, there was a pretty big mountain in front of her. But on the other side, there was so much sweetness there. Every time I see her, she's like, oh, Jackson, can I give you a hug? Oh, my God. She's like, oh, thank you. And she just hung in there. Whatever situation you're going through, hang in there. Sometimes it is family. That's the biggest criticism. Why in the world are you going to that church? Well, don't they do this? Or they don't do that? Or they don't do this? Bless God, they serve God the best they can. And they're faithful in it. There's honey on the other side. Keep being faithful, church member. Keep being faithful. The one thing that concerns me, that as an evangelist, I go to the pastor and I'm like, hey, remember that couple that was sitting here? Whatever, man, pastor, where are they at? Man, they seem so much on fire. They're not here anymore. Devil got after them. Family got after them. Why in the world are you doing that? Why in the world are you going to do that? Oh, you're just going to be a holy roller now? Yet they hung in there, and God did something great with them. Oh, in closing, thank God that the Hebrew boys stood in there, even though they weren't guaranteed victory. They stood in there. Not only did they stand in there, but they literally got to walk and talk with God, their Savior, as they were going through the fiery furnace. Oh, we think of Paul. One thing about a leader is he wonders, is there anybody that's going to come behind me? Is there anybody that's going to pick up the torch? Is there anybody that's going to pick up the manual? And even during this time of his stoning, where literally he died and kind of was re-erected forever and still was able to serve God, there was one behind him. There was one who was looking at him as he was getting hit with the stones, as he was getting hit with the rocks, or whatever, and saw him not give in, not cave, still be faithful. Oh, that one that was there was little Timothy. Little Timothy began to grow up, and little Timothy is now seen in the Bible as a person who not only came after him, but a person who literally fought with him. Why? Because he saw him go through that rough time, and he saw how he handled it, and how he was faithful. Oh, it was a simple message today. God said that there's honey in the rock. But our problem is, as Christians, either sometimes we play God, or sometimes we just quit on God when he was really trying to give us what we wanted in the beginning. I'll tell you this super quick and we're done. I was preaching in Longwood, Florida, at a Lamborghini place right down the road. I was preaching on heaven. I said, hey, I'm going to get a head start on God. I was like, he told me about the mansion, but in my mansion, I'm going to have some places cut out for a garage. And in that garage, I'm going to have a Lamborghini. It's going to be unbelievable. I was like, in fact, I'm going down to the Lamborghini shop right now. I'm going to choose out a few colors or whatever for God. I'm going to kind of help him on this. When I walked into the Lamborghini place, or whatever, I began to talk to a guy, and we began to talk and chat. And he said, hey, do you think this Lamborghini is amazing? Now, let me show you something else. He's like, this is called a Rolls Royce. This is the Rolls Royce Phantom Edition. This car starts out at $600,000. I want you to sit in it, sit down. Ooh, this is nice. He's like, well, sir, if you're planning on purchasing this car, you do not sit in the front seat. He's like, the front seat, that's just for the driver. You need to sit in the back seat. So I sat in the back seat and I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. It was way more than what I ever thought I would have. Now, all of a sudden, in heaven, yeah, I'll have a Lamborghini, but I'll probably have a few Rolls Royces, too. Everything's going good. But our Heavenly Father said, with you, I want to give you the finest things, but you got to be faithful. I want you to be in the finest things, but you got to have faith. I want you to give me the finest things, but you got to hang in there. This may not be a message for some of you right now, because you may not be going through that trial or tribulation, but hopefully you'll remember it. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give in. But always be found faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the church, for the people. Oh, Heavenly Father, this is a little truth that you allowed me to have, and I wanted to be faithful and give it to others. Oh, if there's anybody in here who thought about quitting, oh, if there's anybody in here who thinks about giving in, oh, I encourage you, oh, I beg you, there's an old pastor place here that people have been using for years and years and years, and throughout America for decades and decades, if not centuries. It's called the altar. Oh, I encourage you to come there. Sometimes in life, we simply just have to hit the reset button. Lord God, I was trying to handle this situation, and I was trying to do this on my own. And Lord God, I've been failing, and I can't figure out why. Lord God, tonight, today, this morning, I'm surrendering to you. Lord God, this situation has got me a little bitter, has made me a little bit upset. Lord God, I'm turning it over to you. Lord God, I'm going to live by faith. I'm just going to trust you. Lord God,
There could be honey in this situation. I don't even know how it could be. Lord God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to be faithful. Oh, we talked about this verse, and it's meant for the people that know God. Oh, is there anybody in here today that say, I've never asked the Lord God to come into my heart and be my Savior, but I want to. Well, I want to know Him as my Lord and Savior. Somewhere to happen to me today, I do not know 100% for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Well, would you just simply raise your hand? No one else is looking. It's just me. Would you simply raise your hand and say, I don't know. Boy, if there's anybody here, not only after you're saved, the Bible talks about being baptized. You say, I'm afraid. I'm scared. By faith. By faith. Sometimes we just have to step out and trust the Lord. And if that's the case, boy, I pray for you. Boy, if you need to grab the pastor and say, today's the day, I'm surrendering, let's do it, I encourage you to do it. I encourage you just to step out by faith, obeying God biblically, and do it. Oh, if there's anybody in here that's just standing in the need of prayer, we're like, hey, with this thing of bitterness and stuff, there's some situations and stuff that I need prayer for. Will you just pray for me? Oh, will you raise your hand? Raise your hand for me. Oh, and so look at the hands that went up. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Oh, is there anybody else that said, hey, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation, but boy, put my pride aside, and I need prayer. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, more hands even went up. Boy, I encourage you. The scripture says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Boy, I encourage you. Here in a second, when we begin to sing, we're almost done. It's almost time for Kentucky Fried Chicken and some of Mama's cooking. But this is the most important time. Oh, if you need to do work here at the altar, the altars are open now as we begin to pray.